Welcome back to our 104th episode of the Launcher Farm Show, where I interview Jennifer Mertland, the co-host of the Real Estate Fight Club podcast. In this episode, Jennifer and I talk about why agents should be leveraging their preferred vendors to help have a bigger reach in your community and ultimately get more transactions. And Jennifer shares how they created mutually beneficial events and opportunities with other businesses that create a lot of buzz in their farm area. And we talk about what she does to get consistent sponsorships every month, allowing them to double down on their marketing and reach more people. She also shares a super easy way to use contests to grow your database very quickly, and how to leverage social media to reach even more people. And we talk about how to create tremendous value for your vendors so they keep coming back with sponsorship money each and every month. Plus, we talk about a ton of other ideas that you can use to grow your geographic farm. So be sure to check out this episode, like and subscribe, and enjoy the episode with Jennifer. Welcome back to another episode of the Launcher Farm Show. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and today we've got a great guest. It's Jennifer Mertland. She is the co-host of the Real Estate Fight Club podcast. It's an awesome podcast. That's how I connected with her, through the podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, be sure to do that. But before we jump in, Jennifer, take a second, tell us a bit about yourself and why you're here.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on, Ryan. I appreciate it. Love your podcast too. Yay, podcasters. So I was actually a real estate investor before I got my license in real estate. And I got licensed in 2010, had teams of all different sizes and shapes. And now we do a lot of international stuff. So that's been kind of exciting.
Awesome. So you jumped in the business, you said you were doing investing. How did you get into the transaction side of selling real estate then? Or what was the cause of that?
Well, I used to wholesale short sales before I became a real estate agent. So we would, in our city, in our county, that when people are behind on their mortgage, it's published. And so I would door to door, knock on the door and say, hey, have you, try not to smile too big, but basically like, has the bank told you about a short sale? And a lot of people didn't have the information. So we would buy the property and then sell it the same day, make the profit. And then the bank decided they didn't want to pay those third parties. So then I was like, well, I'll get my license, continue to do short sales. And that's door knocking, cold calling, old school sales, yep, Ryan. Yep.
And which works, and it works effectively, especially when you're doing it in a farm. However, yeah, I'm sure things shifted and you changed your strategies because obviously the short sales kind of dried up and things got back to normal.
Yeah.
What did that transition look like for you then?
Yeah. I mean, door knocking in like a farm area or where you normally do business is really good because that's just one touch point, right? And you have your email, you have calls, you have different things. Just knowing how to do that is really helpful. But then I do a lot of social media now. Okay. But a lot of that is training and stuff from the podcast and helping other agents figure out their authentic way to generate leads. Because not everybody is a door knocker, not everybody's a cold 100%. Caller. And so I think it's important to just, it is important to follow success, of course. But you have to make it your own, right? Because how I sell is not going to be how you sell. But our height, it was me and another partner. We did 100, on average, about 120-ish, 125 transactions a year was kind of where we topped out before we got really exhausted and decided we wanted to have a life. But now
for two people, so.
Yeah, just for two people. So now it's a lot of social media. I still do cold call every day. My partner calls our sphere. We do events. I still door knock. I mean, I like it. I think it's fun.
And I think it's important too. What you mentioned is that not everyone's going to do everything or want to do everything. And that's one of the things I teach is that when it comes to geographic farming, there's kind of foundational keys that you need to have in place. However, you can do what's going to bring you joy or things that you're good at or skill sets that you have that maybe others don't have. Create that value. And I know one of the big ways that you guys have built your business is through business partnerships and working with local businesses. So that's what I really want to dive in today about that, because I find that it's something that's, I find in my experience of helping agents, is that it's one of the most untapped resources and one of the best ways to provide value and create a way to stand out. through kind of what that looks like at a high level, and then we'll dive into.
Well, I think like what you were saying before, so not everybody's going to like door knocking, cold calling to say, hey, do you have a referral? We just sold this property over here. We have a new listing over here. Who do you know wants to live in our neighborhood? Not everybody wants to do that. But what they will do is if they have a geographic farm, they have their neighborhood that they like to be in, maybe they can get the lender or the title company to sponsor like an ice cream truck or something, you know, like pies or something else so that they can get their name out there. That's one way that I think could really, it showcases you as an agent. You obviously know the neighborhood. Theoretically, they've seen your mailings. They've seen your face. They've seen your signs. And so now you're providing value to them. Like, for example, let's say that one of the neighbors had a fire or something like that, something bad, right?
Yep.
You could partner with the lender and maybe give out fire extinguishers or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Or do a fire safety seminar for the neighborhood, just the neighbors. I mean, something simple like that. And if that's like more authentic to you, that's a really great way to meet, because then you're meeting people face to face. Because I find a lot of people, if they don't like cold calling, they prefer networking.
Yep.
Do you think that's true? Yeah.
And I think too, like you said, it shows the community that you care based on things that are happening in the community. So you can do a lot of things that are real time relevant and not just, hey, I learned this thing in a marketing program or someone taught me this.
Yes.
You're doing stuff that matters. And I think that's a big part of how you can customize and how you can create a real local connection and create that value that people are going to resonate with.
But I think if that's who you are, if you're like a networking person, creating that value on a regular routine basis, right? Yeah. So periodically, like if it's not once a quarter, make it twice a year, like something that is that you can do, that you're not just going to drop, like something that you actually like doing, then you'll continually do it. But if you are a cold caller or you are a door knocker like me, then that's not really going to work for you. Like that kind of stuff, I don't like doing that. So instead, I partner with our lender for like a marketing agreement is what we call it. So we get money every month from like the lender, the insurance, the title company, different places, so that then we can send out mailers. Mm. We can do different things like that. We can send out newsletters. And I think you're right. It is so untapped. People are like, well, I only, you know, maybe sell 5 or 10 houses a year, but a lot of our vendors will have money, you know, for this type of thing.
And they're looking for ways to get in front of people at either the right target audience or at the mm-hmm. right time or at the right price. And for each individual person to do on their own can cost a lot of money. But when you kind of bring some people together, you can bring down some of those costs. You can share on some of the stuff. So for you, like you mentioned, it's partnering with people that are serving the industry. Are you strictly doing people that are around the real estate industry, or are you doing people outside of that kind of circle as well?
We mostly just do around the industry, like our real estate industry. But if you are like somebody who has a lot of local businesses around you, I mean, that could be part of, maybe you have a farm, you could have a flyer like that's regularly sent or something like that, that has the coupons, and you could couple it with videos for the local businesses and use that in the social media, which you put on the Facebook page of the neighborhood or something. There's a way. What I found is your first couple of years in real estate, you're trying to figure out like what's going to work for you, right?
Yep.
But then like somewhere around year 4 to 6, you're like, oh, I get it. I know how it works. So that's the point where it has to be deeper. Like, how are we taking, we now know how to get a deal. So now how are we going to go deeper on our farm? How are we going to go deeper with our sphere? How are we going to go deeper with the ways that we know work for us, instead of trying to find all these different ways that don't work, you know?
Yep. And it's also then bringing value to all people and
everyone
as part of that. And I think that's a part that a lot of people miss. Traditional real estate farming, traditional stuff is what I call self-promotion based farming. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'm awesome, I'm great, I sell more houses. And for some people that works and some people it resonates, but it doesn't bring the value to everybody. When you do something like what you're talking about, you are providing additional information. You're providing additional value for the consumers. You're providing value to the preferred vendors. You're providing value to hopefully your clients because you've got great relationships. What kind of things are you doing to really tie that all together and create that next level value?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and to like just a quick caveat point, hopefully we've picked a farm. I mean, that you look at the data, right? Like you pick a farm that has enough transition in it. So now you're like the go-to person. So like you have the YouTube channel that's like whatever your town is, you know, like living in whatever your town is, and you do videos regularly, monthly, weekly, whatever it is on those local businesses, then they offer some type of incentive to visit the business that you're then passing out or calling about or door knocking about, or you have the, you know, the food truck or whatever about, you're dropping off a gift. It's like that, you know, or when you visit it, you're tagging it in all your social media, you're taking a picture. It becomes like full circle of this, everything that you do, they're there because people consume content. And I hear a lot of agents, they're like, well, I put up too much. I'm afraid I'm putting up too much stuff. I can guarantee you're not putting up enough. Guarantee it. I put $1 million on that. You're not putting up enough, because even though I have the same thing in my stories, that's in, you know, on my feed, there's people that only look at stories. There's people that only look at feeds. There's people that only look at the YouTube channel. It doesn't matter. Just put it up.
Yeah. And it, like you said, it comes back to it full circle where it starts to a very different kind of life of its own where people start to see things. Then they recognize you and the other thing.
Yes.
Have to be doing that, all of those things. And this is where one of the things I teach is called strategy stacking, where when you learn to create strategies that work together, then when you add things in, you can get more reach. You can connect with people in different ways. It's not just a one and done postcard or a park bench. It starts to really be more holistic and reach people in a different way. But
well, when it doesn't even reach like just that many more people, it actually exponentially reaches people. There's like an economics term for that. Do you know what it is?
The reverse would be diminishing.
Diminishing returns. Yeah. I was thinking like, what is, it's like compound interest almost, right? It's like just when your strategy stacking, you, it's the same as compound interest, which is not because you add a dollar, you don't just have one more dollar. You have like three. So it's the same. It ripples out into the universe. And then people are like, oh my God, you're everywhere. And you're like, yeah, I'm everywhere. And I can help you sell your house.
And the one thing I talk about all the time with local businesses is that you get multiple returns because, like I said, you have content or quality stuff that you're providing to the people. You are building and strengthening the relationships with those local vendors so that when they are ready to give you referrals, they're going to hopefully give you some business in return. But then the part that a lot of people miss is that they are going to share it with their audiences. Those businesses are going to want to help promote and support you. So if they've got social media following, if they've got reach a different audience, and you're going to do that a lot quicker than if you were just out there on your own trying to reach people.
Trying to do everything. Exactly. It's crazy.
So obviously creating value for everyone is important. And I think I think a lot of agents struggle with how do they create value to the business? They can see the value to the consumer. How do you position it to the businesses? Because I find agents don't do it because they're afraid of going to these businesses and saying, hey, I've got this. How do I pitch it to them so they are interested or see the value in it, especially if you're newer to it? What would you suggest agents?
Well, I would say like there's a pretty big secret in that most of these local businesses have zero marketing people. Yeah. So any marketing for them is usually pretty good. If you have a big following that gets a lot of engagement, or like just any, it doesn't have to be big, but you get a lot of engagement. Yep. You could also do like a contest. And if you're on Instagram, one of the tricks is to collaborate with them, not just tag them, because when you collaborate, it shows in the business's feed also, which is what you want. But let's say you do a contest. So it's like, hey, like this post and do something else, like my business, like this business page, you'll be entered to win X, right? And it could be something simple, like a free appetizer, a free lemonade. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be anything big because people love contests.
Yeah. And that done consistently enough will get you in front of people. And they may not respond to that contest, or they may not respond to that post or that message,
but they'll
see it. And I think that's a big part of it, where if you can do that consistently and do that long-term, you'll see the results pay off in the long run. And one of the things I think is important, especially when you're doing farming, like you mentioned, if you're door knocking, you're already putting the boots on the ground. So you're already doing the hard part, which is getting out there. So if you are doing co-marketing, the expensive part is the delivery. The expensive part is getting out there. So this is where you can offset a lot of your costs. So if you're going to do a marketing piece, we did that with a local bank and some other businesses on our farm where we're like, hey, we're already going to be there. So like, will you help pay some of this? Here's what it's going to cost. And it was made it cheaper for us. And that also helped us create those partnerships, which is a win-win for everybody.
Right. Well, we have like one partnership with our insurance company that we recommend a lot. And we just do like TikToks every week.
Nice.
And it's so fun because they are not doing it already. So like, that's the value to them. Right. Yep. So they'll pay for some of the editing costs and then we just make the TikToks and it's like, okay, that's fun. That's it. Right. But I'm doing it anyway.
Exactly.
But it's so easy for Instagram because you can get like from a short video from like a 5-minute introduction. Hey, this is so-and-so. This is their story of them starting their business. Here's my favorite thing here, blah, blah, blah. You can get so much content from that. And a lot of people will do the editing on their own. I prefer to pay for it, but you know, but you can get like a static quote from them. You could get a static picture. You could do a reel. You could do stories. I mean, a million things just from that one video.
Exactly. And then you're not relying on you to create all that content yourself. And I find that's where the benefit to a lot of agents, if they're afraid of going, what do I say? What kind of content do I do? When you are working with other people, they're providing that content and they're creating value that your audience will also resonate with. And because you have different opinions or different perspectives, some people will connect with what you do and some people may connect with the person that you're interviewing and create a different opportunity that you never.
And it could be fun, right? Like, let's say you have in your local, you have two Italian restaurants. It's like, who has the best ziti? Yeah. Who has the best spaghetti, the best meatballs? And that you like create something fun about that. That's engaging. Like, hey, go to this place, mention that you saw this post and you get a free meatball or something like that. Right. Yep. And then it's like, it's fun then.
Yeah. And you get to connect and create more opportunities for yourself as well. That's fair. I know when I started, you probably know my story, but I moved a couple times and I moved to a new area and I knew nobody there. I moved for a girl and I moved to this area. I basically knew her and I was looking for things to do in the community. I was looking for dates so I could like be a good boyfriend and try to.
You were prospecting.
Exactly. So I created a blog called 52 Things to Do in Durham Region. And I was out looking for things to do. And what happened was, very quickly, I became a connector and connected to these local businesses and businesses were coming to me. They were giving me things. They're saying, hey, can you promote this? I've got tickets to this event. You want a free limo ride and wine and golf tickets. And then it was like, oh, this is fun for me. This is great. I got connected and I got some of the benefits of it too. So it can be a whole different perspective on real estate when a lot of people I find get burnt out from the business because they are so focused on the transaction that they sometimes don't.
Well,
have
and
fun.
They're trying to do too many things, right? They're buying leads. They're trying to cold call, even though they hate it. They've got to be on the social media, but they don't know what to say. And it's like, they have to do these client events. And it's always like, I have to do this. And it's like so exhausting. I'm tired when they talk about it. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, pick the things that lift you up. Yep. Pick two things, one for new contacts and one for people you already know. And that's it. That's it. And just like triple down on that stuff.
And have fun with it. And that's a big part to enjoy it because you may not love every minute of it, but it's like, if you can do things that you enjoy and connect with businesses and work with businesses that you like, it's going to be a lot more fun, which brings me to my next question is how do you choose the people that you want to work with? Because being in the industry, I've always said we're the kind of the hub of the industry. We kind of feed leads to the mortgage brokers, to the lenders, to the different. How do you choose? Hey, this is the person I'm going to work with. Is it just the person who gives you the most money? Is it the person who has the best connections? Or like,
I think they have to have some level of connections, right? But I think you also have to like them and want to do business with them because if you don't want to do business with them, your customers and clients won't want to either. I mean, I'm a firm believer. And if you do a deal with somebody and you don't like them, then you should not keep them in your database.
Yeah.
Like it's just not worth it, you know? So that's how I choose. Yeah. It has to offer a good value for both sides. And they do have to have some type of like representation or there's no opportunity for it to like grow.
Exactly. And I think it is a reflection of you and your business. I moved and I switched mortgage brokers, and I had an amazing mortgage broker before. When I moved, I tried this new guy and I was getting very bad feedback after a couple of referrals. And I was like, yeah, okay, he's gone, replace him. And the guy we use now is fantastic and just amazing. And it's like, right, that's the experience I want. I want my clients to have that. Even if this guy gave me more money than this guy, or even this guy helped me do more stuff, it's like, if they're not getting a good experience, you have to at least bare minimum have a good experience with them and take care.
But I think you also have to have the conversation like, hey, I'm looking for a give and a take here. And maybe like for us, like we are looking to like recruit and to partner with people, other agents. So it's like, I don't want the buyer leads. But if you hear of somebody that's thinking of like changing, I want to talk to that person to see if maybe they're a good fit for our team and our group. And it's like, you can come up with different ways. Maybe it's like, okay, they're not comfortable doing that. That's fine. Well, I want you to help me with some events that we're doing, or I want you to help me with something else. Like, you can create a win-win situation, I think.
Yep, for sure. So then what I ask then is, how do you decide what things you decide are going to do? Are you taking charge of that? Or are you having kind of both people are saying, hey, here's some ideas? How do you vote on this is what our funds are going to? And
yeah, usually I found that it's more like I make a request and then typically they'll like honor it. Just because we have our plan, right? We know what we want to do. We know what we need money for. We have our financials. Yeah. We've been in business since 2010. So we're a pretty well-oiled machine. Yep. So it's like, hey, here's some options. We need help paying for this. We need help paying for this. Here's the ask. Do you want to do any of it or all of it? And then we kind of work through it from there.
And I think, like you said earlier, is that a lot of these businesses aren't good at marketing. They're good at their craft. They're good at their business, but they're not good at that. So have trusted. It's like, hey, you do
you
this.
You must be good at marketing. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. They think we're actually good at marketing. Like being a real estate agent is not just sales. It is also marketing. And so they just like buyers and sellers, they automatically assume that we do our job every day.
Yeah.
Even though the average realtor does not do their job every day, exactly. Right? So it's like, all you have to do is not mess up. That's it. There's no high expectation.
Yeah. So it's perfect. I was going to ask about expectations. Is that what expectations are you setting with them on what they're going to get from it and what you're going to get? Because I find some people have crazy expectations and some people are like, hey, I just want
to. Yeah, I think you have to talk about that up front, right? So for the insurance, it was like, okay, we're going to post one TikTok a week. And that's that for the money. And you're going to be in our newsletter and you're going to be, we have two newsletters. So they're in both of them, one for real estate agents, one for consumers. So it's like, you're in that stuff. There's other ones that it's like, okay, we're going to do a video once a month to highlight a story or your knowledge base. And that, you know, that's good for them. It just depends on what you're doing. So let's say you do an event and you could then say, hey, you could say, we'll make sure to, we'll have like a giveaway and we'll get people to sign up and then you'll have their names and numbers. That usually is all that they really want.
Yep. It's a fair trade for them. It works. It works well. They're getting their name out there and it helps everybody, which is
exactly. Or if they're doing a monthly, like if they're doing a monthly agreement with you, if you have a newsletter, putting them on the newsletter or any type of mailer is usually good enough.
Yep. So then I want to ask then about competition. Are you putting anything in there and when you're agreeing with them on they're not doing these things with other agents or are they exclusive?
No, I don't care.
So it's like an open relationship. You can do your thing then.
Yeah. It's an open relationship.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, we use other lenders too. We use other insurance providers. Like it's going to depend on the client and it's going to depend on, we're not allowed to just be like, use this person and that's it. Like we have to give some choices. So yeah, I mean, not everybody's going to get along. Right. So sometimes it's a personality match. So yeah, they're paying for other people's stuff and they're using other people and going to other events. And actually it's better because the more exposure they have, the more exposure you're going to get.
True. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I also find too that, like you said, there's going to be opportunities where some people feel it's a better fit for what they're looking for. Someone may not be comfortable on TikTok and this person might be, or this person might be fine just doing getting their logo on something or whatever you guys work on. So then as far as doing things consistently? Are you finding you're doing things on a regular basis with people, or is it more of like a one-off, or do you have like a combination of you're doing one-off type projects, or is it like, hey, you're committing for the next year, 2 years to do it?
Well, we don't actually like have a necessarily a commitment level. You know, we don't want to be trapped either, yep. because what if they're terrible?
Exactly. You know? That's true. Like, yeah.
But we are consistent. So we consistently and have been regularly sending out our newsletter. So mm-hmm. I can promise that. We consistently and regularly do like send out cards to our clients. So they're on that too. Mm-hmm. I am on social media. So like everything that I promised them is something that I've been doing. We're not like, we're not going from like, hey, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, but and eat only salads and exercise every day when all I eat is cheeseburgers and never exercise. Yeah. Right. And I think like, that's something that as agents, we have to look and say, what are we really, really, really consistent about?
Yeah.
And if you want to level up as an agent, planning your business and actually doing your plan will level you up. Just yeah. do it 1% more than you did it last year. And you'll have more business than you can yeah. even stand.
And I think, again, in my experience, I've seen a lot of agents are hesitant to do things because they think I'm not doing it yet, or I don't have the funds to do it yet, or I don't have the help to do that. And what you can do is instead of taking the money that someone may be working with you to just spend on marketing, you could put that into systems and people to yeah. then create that opportunity. So you,
yeah, like to maybe, your VA, virtual assistant or something exactly. like that to help edit the videos. Like exactly. if you like being on video, then that's a great investment for a virtual assistant.
Exactly. And then that funds that to do that, then it mm-hmm. becomes something you now put in place that you probably wouldn't have done before. And I also exactly. think that it holds you accountable as well. Like I know my first mortgage broker, we started doing videos years ago. We were doing we did like short questions and like question answer type yeah. videos where we'd answer stuff. And then it helped hold me accountable because yes. then it's like, well, I don't want to disappoint him. We got to create mm-hmm. this content. It got me uncomfortable doing the videos, and we did a series of them. We had thousands of views on these videos, and it was awesome because we were both being held accountable. And I think that's right. a piece that a lot of agents miss. It's not just the, hey, I've got this thing promoted. It helps yeah. you grow. It helps your business grow, which is huge, I think.
Well, and I think too, it doesn't have to be long. So like, if you're just, as you get started, like you will get better. Oh my gosh. I look back at some of the videos I did in like 2016. They are so funny, but it doesn't matter, right? Just keep yeah. it like quick 2 minutes. Like if you're going to interview a business owner, like, who are you? What's your story? Yeah. Like, but try to have the hook about the story, like in the beginning. So then people can be pulled through to watch your, you know, 2 or 3 minute video. That's yeah. it. It doesn't have to be 25 minutes, 80 minutes. It doesn't have to. Right. People aren't going to watch a movie about this.
Exactly. And the nice yeah. thing with that too is once you get a few of those under your belt, it becomes easier to then position it to other people. Once you got a couple yeah. videos, once you got a couple ideas or events yeah. that you're doing, you can say, hey, here's what we did. Here's the success we did. Here's how we're going to make it better. Here, do you yeah. want in on this? Yes or no? And people yeah. can decide based on some of that. And you don't have to have done it for 5 years and say, here's our massive track record. You just need a few little
things. Yeah. But here's the other thing too. If you are regularly on social media, you are known for something. Yeah. Your audience comes there for something, and that's what it's for. So like you were mentioning, like you had the 52 things to do, right? But like I live downtown Cincinnati, and I'm always out, and I always post pictures of the food. I give like yeah. a small review, like, do I like it? Do I not like it? Or whatever. Right. Literally, almost every day people are like, hey, we're coming downtown. Where should we eat? Yep. And it's like, okay, you know, like you are known for your content and what you put out there
yeah.
anyway. So just exactly. double down on that. Cause that's what you like. We already exactly. know you like it.
And I also find, again, in my own experience, because I'm a small business owner, I connect with small business owners a lot easier than yeah. a doctor or a lawyer or things like that. Right. Like I can connect with business owners. Cause I'm like, hey, I'm like you. I'm in the trenches. I run a business.
There's passion. Yeah. Exactly.
So it becomes easy to connect and easy to relate, and becomes something that I enjoy doing. And I think the other thing we're seeing a resurgence of, and one of my very first interviews I did a couple of years ago, he was talking about how real estate agents used to be the Rolodex for the community.
Yes.
Before the internet, we were the ones yes. people would call us and say, hey, I need this. Can you help me with this? Who should I talk about this? And then we've shifted because the internet came out. Now we have an opportunity to come back to that because people are still going back saying, hey, who should I talk to? What should I, where should I go? Like you said, they're looking to you for
yes.
recommendations, and that creates trust, and that creates a real sense of community. And one of the things I teach is I call it CPR. And one of the keys is positioning, is the P. It's you position yourself as the ambassador for the community and mm-hmm. the expert. And if
yes.
you're brand new to the business and you don't have any sales, you've never, maybe you're, you don't have,
doesn't
have
matter.
You can be the ambassador for the, I shop here. I support these businesses. I know the schools, the parks, mm-hmm. and you can share what you love, like you said, and that can build credibility more than, hey, I've sold 5 homes in the area or 20 right. homes in the area.
Or like you could even ask the question, like you don't even know, maybe and you'd yeah. be like, hey, who's the best electrician? Where's the best yep. place for buying whatever? Like yeah. who has the weirdest chips? Like yep. it doesn't matter. You can ask, like you can ask too. You don't always have to be telling.
That's a great, yeah. Cause you could do a whole campaign. Like I'm on a journey to find the best, whatever, or I'm
ranch. In search of the best. I'm on a journey to find the best ranch right now. So like literally for my birthday this year, two of my friends got me these ranch ornaments because I love ranch. And so like, we always talk about ranch. So it's like, who has the best ranch? And so when people go out to eat, they always send me like, oh, their ranch was great. And you're like, okay, like it becomes fun, you know?
Yeah. And again, like you said, it becomes something that you can share that you love, and you're going to connect with people who also are interested yeah. or have similar views on things, which is nice to and easy to connect with people. And they're like, I'm into sports. And you can yeah. find mutual.
Well, and I think people too, then they get nervous and they're like, okay, but how do I bring up real estate? How do I ask for a referral? Right. And that's like the next step. Yeah. And it's like, don't worry about that. Here's what yeah. people love to talk about: the weather, politics, and real estate. Yeah. That's it. It'll come up. And even if it doesn't, you can like force it to come up. Oh my gosh, did you see the neighbor's house sell? Oh my gosh, did you see what that list is up for? Whatever. It yeah. doesn't matter. It will come up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I've interviewed a lot of people, and that's the thing they always say. It's like, don't force the real estate conversation. It will show up. But I find yeah. so many people are worried that it's not going to, that they force the conversation, and then it becomes awkward. It becomes weird because they're trying to like, so real estate and
it's silly. But if you have like a buyer and you know that that person you're talking to lives in the neighborhood or the area the buyer wants to live in or has a lot of friends, be like, hey, you know, I have this buyer that's looking in so-and-so neighborhood. Do you know of anybody that's thinking of selling? Like, oh, wait, have you thought about selling? Do you see the house prices? You can like force it a little bit, right? Yep. But it has to be like authentically forced, yep. I guess. I don't know what that would be called, yep. but yeah, where it's not weird.
Yep. Yeah, totally. And Dean Jackson's guy I love, he talks about orchestrated referrals. So you could have orchestrated conversations where you're nudging in that direction. But so I want to ask you then about creating those conversations with the businesses. How are you reaching out to those businesses to connect? Are you finding them from like, hey, I saw them on social media? I did a deal with them? Or like, how are you kind of scoping
it? It's usually either social media or they're like in the area, right? And it's like, I know a little bit about their story, or I can tell they're a small business. If there's a small business, there's always a story. Yeah. Nobody opens up a small business because they feel like it. There's always a reason why they did it.
Yep.
And so it's like, hey, and then you say like, I'm a real estate agent. I have this YouTube channel or this Instagram channel where I interview small businesses. It's a couple of minutes. What, can you tell me a little bit about your story? Is that something you'd be interested in? By the way, can we offer something to them? Can we have a contest? Something like that. And most people, I've only had a couple of people turn me down because they're scared of the camera.
Yeah.
And you can get around that by doing a lot of static pics and doing like a voiceover. It's just video is a little bit more interactive, you know?
Yeah. I 100% agree. And that's, I've always said that the only reason someone usually would say no is because they're afraid. And I talk about doing business highlights where you're just highlighting the business. Like you said, hey, I'm here. I just had the salad. It was great. I had this whatever. Do you guys like it? And you can highlight the business without having to do a formal interview.
Right. And then you can tell their story for them.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
But usually it's the fear of the camera, and which is fine, because if they're not going to be comfortable, you're not going to force them to do it. But
it's going to be weird if they're not, because so many people freeze and you're like, oh no, you're very normal when we talk in real life. But once you get on camera, you are not normal. This is not going to be good. Let's do something else.
But at the end of the day too, is as you do that, you get more comfortable. As you have more examples as well, they can see. And then I find people will be more comfortable with being on camera too, going, okay, if Joe did it or Sally did it, okay, I guess I could do it on camera too. Yeah. And it's not too bad.
Well, and especially if you're telling them it's short, right? And you're going to highlight something specific, or if they are uncomfortable, like you said, highlight their product, because they love talking about that. What's your best seller? What's your most popular? What do you hoped would have sold the most, but nobody likes? It could be anything.
Exactly. So I want to ask you a question then about a unique outcome from all of this, because obviously you've probably seen some cool things. What's something really cool that like you're like, wow, this just, I didn't expect this to happen, or this is some opportunity?
Well, I think like one of my favorite things is just like you make friends.
Yeah.
So there's this one business that I highlighted called Afro Meals. And she is a woman from Ghana, and she moved to Cincinnati, and she has like where you can go to cooking classes.
Nice.
And like literally like now, like we go there all the time. We're like friends. I'm on her Instagram. I'm on her like website. Like it's, you just don't expect to be friends necessarily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's been really fun just to like talk to people and like be friends with them.
Yeah.
And then also, as you do more of it, you get, I didn't necessarily expect to become more creative, because that happens too.
Yeah.
And then you start like making more connections, like, oh, do you know this person over here? And they'll be like, no, be like, let me introduce you or whatever. You really do, like you said, become that Rolodex then, which is our kind of like our position in the world. I feel like, you know, that's who we are.
And that's what I enjoyed about it too, is I'm not one of those shake hands and kiss babies kind of person. But as I started doing this, I became the connector, and I became people like, oh, I need this, or who should I talk to? Or I speak with someone, I'm like, oh, I'm not sure if you know them, but you should, I think you guys would really connect, or they've got something cool that you guys might want to highlight.
Yeah.
And it became rewarding to, to do that, which
Well, and because we're not like shake hands, kiss baby type people, I find that generally like our referral is really trusted. Like, oh, if you sent me that person, like you're the type of person that always tells the truth, and you're not going to send me to somebody that's an idiot. So it's more, it's an elevated referral.
Yeah. And that was actually the question I was going to ask from that is, how are you finding the business you get from these connections, and how is that coming to you from other than just the events and that kind of stuff? How is it showing
up? So sometimes it's going to be personal stuff, right? Because now you're friends and you know them, they also have a sphere. Right. So that those referrals, like sphere of influence referrals, come to you. Sometimes it's in the form of like, oh my God, like an affiliate. Right. Where if I refer you, I get money, but you have to tell the person you're referring that that happens. You say, look, I'm an affiliate because I really do like them, but they pay me if you do sign up. And your friend is like, oh, that's great. Like usually they don't care. So those are really the two ways, because you're always in front of these people. Like you can repost the content. Like, let's say, you know, we interview a small business today and post it today. In 3 or 4 months, you can repost it. You can repurpose it.
Yeah.
And then you're back in front of them again.
Yeah, which is great. Mm-hmm. And it
I would just keep in touch. What's that?
It brings up new connections, because that someone you may not have been connected with 3 months ago, and now they are, or they weren't ready for it, or they weren't interested at
that time. Yeah. But now they're into your sphere of influence funnel, right? So whatever you do for your sphere, you now do it for them.
Yeah.
Like they are your sphere now.
Yep.
You have got them. No, I'm just kidding.
And I find too that a lot of agents focus on one-to-one sales, whether if they are just going cold calling or door knocking, they're trying to make a transaction that with that person. And the thing I love about businesses is that it's a one-to-many, because they have an audience, because they've got a database, because they've got clients. Mm-hmm. Hope they wouldn't be in business if they didn't have clients, but you're able to leverage your time.
Yes.
And if you do it correctly, get in front of more people without extra work. You can get in front of 100 people without having to talk to 100 people necessarily. Exactly. And it also has staying power. And I was going to ask you that, is what's kind of like the longest relationship before it turned into a transaction, like where you met someone or did something with them, and it's like 2 years later, something showed up, or a year later, have you had?
Yeah. The longest is usually about 2 years.
Okay.
Cause if you're staying in front of them, they're going, and they're the same type of person that you are. They're like a connector. They're a networker. That's what you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
Then even if they don't have a personal transaction, they will know somebody who does, or somebody will see you that's connected to them. And that came by, they were at the same event as you or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
2 years is about the longest.
Okay. And do you set the expectation that you're looking for referrals from them, or is it just, hey, this is a marketing transaction or a,
I think if that's what you're looking for, you should always discuss that up front, because that's the thing, right? Like, hey, you're giving us money and we want to give you referrals, but we also want referrals if that's what you want. Like, you have to have that conversation up front. It's like sort of like an employee. If you have employees, like, you can't just like, everybody knows. No, nobody knows. So state what you want, find out what they want. Cause you had even alluded to it before. It's like, what if they want 70 referrals and there's no possible way that's going to happen. Right. Yeah. So it's like, no, I'm going to message you, or I'm going to tag you on different Facebook posts. I'm going to do these things and then keep in touch with them. Like, don't be afraid to be like, hey, how'd it go this month? Yeah. Did anybody circle up with you? Because you have to get better too.
Exactly.
It's like trying to avoid something. Like, if you have a listing and there's no showings, not directly talking to the seller doesn't create a showing. Like, you need to talk to them and say, hey, look, there's no showings. What are we going to do? Like, here's my ideas. What are your ideas? Because they have ideas.
Yep.
So you might as well just address it.
Exactly. And it goes back to what you said, is that you get started and you're going to grow and you're going to start doing it and you're going to be consistent with it. And I think I'm sure you agree that as you start doing it, then you can start saying, here's the results we got in the past. Here's when we did this, this is what they can expect.
This is what happened.
It's easier to set the expectation and say, you know, we've done this before and here's what we got.
Yeah.
Since you're part of it. So,
yeah, so exactly.
Going forward, where do you see this? What are you guys working on? Where do you see things going? And then how is it things evolving for you over the next year?
I think for us, like, more social media has been really key. Because that's how people consume. And even though it's local, it's okay. Yeah. Like, because people, they'll visit, like, people come to visit and be like, hey, where do I go for this? Where do I go for that? What do I do for this? Yeah. So it's okay. So for us, it's about making it less variety, but deeper. You know what I mean? Yeah. So instead of doing like one-offs, doing more videos with people or more different types of posts or more contests or more whatever with those partners and vendors that we really love. And we know that our clients and contacts will love too.
Yep. And it just keeps building. And
if
everyone's getting value in it, you just keep doing it until you don't.
Until you don't. Yeah.
So if you were to give our viewers one last piece of advice, if they're thinking about working with businesses and partnering on these kind of things, what's one piece of advice you'd give?
My piece of advice would be, if you're not doing it at all, then do it once a month. Do one video a month and set it up so you're doing it for 6 months, and then you'll get into a rhythm. It takes between 4 to 6 months to really like feel it all out. So you have to give yourself that much time in order to say, okay, is this working for me? Does this work for me? Like, what's going on? The more you do it, the better off you'll be. So if you can do it more, that's fine, but have your goal of being like one a month.
Yep. That's very true. And but you got to take that first step. And once you do it, it becomes easy to do that. So that's awesome. We always wrap up with a best book. So what's one book you'd recommend that's had an impact on your life or you think would have an impact on our viewers?
I'd like to give you one of my favorite books that I just read. It's called Predictably Irrational.
It's how we all
did you read it?
No, I haven't read it yet. I just someone recommended it and it's on my list.
It's so good. So it's how we think we make decisions logically, but we're not. We're actually illogical, but we're predictably illogical. And this really helps when you're looking at your customers and your clients to see how they make decisions.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And yourself.
That's the scary part. It's more looking to yourself and think we all think we know ourselves, but we're unpredictable. So
exactly. Awesome. Exactly.
All right. We'll put that in the show notes so our viewers can check that out. And how can they find out more about what you're up to and connect with you and find you?
Well, I'm Jennifer Mertland and Real Estate Fight Club podcast on all social media, or you can call or text me. It's 513-400-1691.
Awesome. So we'll put that in the show notes as well, so our viewers can check you out and connect with you. So thank you, Jennifer, for being on here. Thank you for sharing your insights and your experience and your passion with this. Cause I know if agents do even a fraction of what we talked about today, they will start to see that success. And if they want to take the next level, they can connect with you and find out more and check out the podcast as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Ryan. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking out today's episode. If you'd like more videos like this, be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Facebook page and our other social media channels. Looking forward to bringing you more great content like this, and happy farming.